It's time for a new start in a new year. Sally and I come up with our top resolutions for the new year, and we even have some Wells Tech show resolutions. A couple of changes that I think you're going to like. Stay tuned for that and much more. This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 323, recorded on Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. My name is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
Good morning, Sally. How are you in this fine, brisk morning?
I am very happy to be back at Wells Tech, and I'm warm here in my house. Haven't had to venture outside yet, but I have a New Year's resolution for you.
Actually, already?
It's a New Year's podcast episode resolution, and that is, I'm not going to talk about how cold it is here in New Ulm, Minnesota,
it's a true test today to not do that, isn't it?
How we've reached record lows and how we took boiling water outside and threw it in the air and it turned into snow in front of our very eyes. I'm not going to talk about any of that today.
I think you just broke your resolution. Yeah, 17 below here, and I think you probably have that beat, but like you say, God has blessed us with warm surroundings and the opportunity to do podcasts for another year in 2014. Ended the old year, 2013, with a bang. I thought we had a great interview, and I always love our end-of-the-year picks, so it's kind of fun doing those December shows. But I'm really looking forward to 2014 because we talked a little bit about some changes we'd like to make and some resolutions we're going to make, and that's going to be the focus of the show today. Those things that we look at and we maybe kind of reevaluate what went well and what could be improved upon from 2013 and try and make those changes, and hopefully everybody benefits.
Yeah, 6 years of podcasting under our belt, Martin. It's hard to believe we're beginning our seventh year. Seems like just yesterday back in 2008 that we started this journey, and here we are with an awesome Wells Tech community. I'm ever thankful for their input to the show, their face-to-face meetings when we have those opportunities, and we're just looking to do more and build the community more this year and serve and let technology serve our ministry efforts across Wells.
So we're going to announce some of those changes here in a minute, but we heard some resolutions from some of our frequent contributors, which kind of inspired us a little bit to make our own resolutions.
Yeah, we actually got an email over the Christmas break from Pastor Rob Gunther. He serves at Grace in Kenai, Alaska, and he said, I do the annual tradition of making my New Year's resolutions only to break them a few weeks later. I'm guilty too, Pastor Gunther, I understand. He says, I'm sick of that tradition and I want to do better this year. So a few weeks ago, I ordered a book called Fire Your Excuses. I heard about it on another podcast. Interestingly, it's called Read to Lead. Maybe we'll have to check out readtoleadpodcast.com. He says he's only halfway through the book, but he thinks it might help him this year with his resolutions. Here's the ministry tech tip. Whether you get the book or not, you can take the free online self-assessment, and he provided a link. I thought it was a pretty honest eval of where I'm at and things I need to work on. Thought you might want to check it out as people make New Year's resolutions. Very timely of him to share that. Let me do a quick screen share. There's a website, apparently, fireyourexcuses.com is all about the book, but this particular page of their website is the self-assessment tool. So it says, this tool is a free resource that accompanies the book, Fire Your Excuses. We hope you will find this experience both challenging and revealing. This instrument is designed to help you identify the obstacles that are currently holding you back, identify the areas these obstacles are impacting the most, and recognize how much these factors are robbing you of your own dreams and your impact upon the lives of others. So an honest self-assessment, and sounds like a neat tool, and thanks to Pastor Gunther for sharing that, a great way to start that New Year's resolution curve that we all
I did not get a chance to try that yet, but that's on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So how do you want to do this, Sal? We both kind of come up with our own resolutions. These are mostly tech-related, but I think all will benefit from these because there are some real standard, you know, resolution-type things that we probably make each year. But again, maybe with the help of Rob's recommendation, we can figure out how to keep them this year. I'm going to start with one that I've thought a lot about over 2013, and we've talked a lot about over the past year, and that's improving our own personal technology or cyber security. And that means taking the time to examine how you are protecting yourself online, your identity, your activity, all of those things that could potentially be stolen and used for otherwise nefarious purposes. So for me, that means kind of ramping up my use of a great tool that I've recommended many times in the past, and that's LastPass. I know you use it too, Sally. A tool that I really can't live without right now. And LastPass is basically a plugin for your browser that simply remembers passwords you tell it to different sites. You can add different other kinds of information in it that aren't related to websites. So security numbers or whatever, PIN codes, etc. And then there's one main password that governs all those other passwords. So you really don't have to remember all those other passwords because the browser takes care of it. When you go to the appropriate page, you log in with the credentials that LastPass has remembered and then substitutes in those username and password fields. Some of the features that I really want to focus on in the new year as a resolution here are the strong password creation tools that LastPass usually suggests when you go to a new site. Along with that, I want to go through all the sites that I have username and passwords for, at least the ones that I think could potentially be harmful if they were hacked. Things like Evernote and you know, my bank account passwords, those kinds of things. And make sure that all those passwords are difficult, are strongly encrypted, and unique. So that I've my real resolution is not to use the same password for any two sites. And you can really only do that if you have a tool like LastPass. And then finally change those passwords regularly, especially the LastPass password I want to change. I'm probably about a 60-day change cycle. That's what we're using here in the Synod office now for some of our most secure systems. And just get in the habit, when you turn your clocks back, you check your fire alarm batteries, kind of the same thing. Every time I'm forced to change my password here at work, I'm going to go through all of my passwords that make a difference and change those as well. So that's my resolution number one.
You know, I commend you for that, Martin. I think I'm right there with you. And just a couple of little reminders that hit me over the Christmas break. My son lost his LastPass password.
Oh,
not
no.
Good. You can't lose the last password you need to remember. So yeah, we had some challenges there. The whole Target thing, and I know that's not your online passwords, but it's just a demonstration that the fact that Target's terminal access was hacked and people who had swiped their cards at Target, including me, I'd been to Target to shop in that period of time, you know, that you're opened up to the potential of hacking and identity theft and things like that. It's a real problem out there, and it's something that we can't just be blasé about. The third thing that struck me over the holidays, I've got cords around me I need to be careful of, is someone just making the comment, to someone else, it's my password I use everywhere. You know what that is, you know. And you just can't do that. You just can't use one password everywhere because you aren't comfortable trying to remember or keep up with more than one. I pay for the $12 a year premium access to LastPass so I can get it on my mobile devices as well. That's a pittance of a investment.
$1 a month.
to keep, you know, those passwords secure and to have the peace of mind, you know, that you can actually have separate passwords for each of your sites and things. So a great resolution, and one that I feel like I need to adopt as well, as hard as it is.
That's worth the effort. Yeah, those things like Target, and yeah, that's probably a good reminder for those of us that have these combination debit credit cards, that really you should, whenever possible, use the credit side of that credit card rather than punching in a PIN for reasons like that. Plus, you get credit card protection from illegal use as well, and you don't always get that with the debit card. So.
Lots of good tips there. I have some resolutions as well, Martin. I'm going to interject. Mine are kind of education focused. I laughed because I got an education right here at home. My son the other day was talking about lolling, and I was like, what are you talking about, lolling? And he's like, you know, LOL.
Yeah,
and I'm so out of it, apparently, with the terms. Anyway, they threw a new one my way the other day, AFK. Have you heard of AFK before?
Only because I looked at the show notes.
Away from keyboard. And apparently this is popular to do in Minecraft, so you need to be up on these Minecraft things, Martin. But they set up their Minecraft to do these tasks and walk away from their computer and come back 6 hours later, and they've harvested loads of fish or whatever it is that they have set it up to do. So there's always things to learn, new acronyms, so that you're up on the latest technology. But I think one of my big resolutions is actually to get away from technology a little bit. This kind of goes with our book we've been reading. I have it right here. It's called The Shallows, and it's teaching us a little bit about the fact that we aren't deep readers anymore, and we're losing that in our culture.
That almost looks like a real book there.
It is. It's got paper, and there's markings in here and everything. And that's my resolution, is to be away from the computer a little bit more. I read tons of blog articles and things like that on the computer, but I actually want to read paper books. I have them stacked up here ready to go. And when it's not in paper, then I can get audio versions of books as well. So I read one challenge to try to read 2 books a month, and that would be huge for me to complete 24 books in the year 2014, and just kind of getting back to my roots a little bit and away from technology just a little bit.
Yeah, so. Got to be careful how fat those books are if you've got a 2-book-per-month challenge.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't be pulling out War and Peace.
No, no War and Peace for me. You have other resolutions, Martin?
Yeah, I'm going to learn Minecraft. No.
Oh, there you go. I'll help you with the acronym side.
No, my second resolution is kind of related to the first one, and that is securing my data through regular backups. Just a good backup strategy is always a good resolution to have, and I know all of us, even though we've got these great tools at our disposal now, don't always have good backup strategies. So a couple tips there that I'm going to try and implement in my workflow. Just make it as automated as possible. Just make sure that you don't have to think about it. You don't have to be the one to remember to do the backup. And then with the cloud storage tools today, it's really simple to do that. When you have things like Backblaze or Carbonite, Mozy, those kinds of things, you can just set it and forget it, and it takes care of the rest. Now, you want to choose that vendor carefully. You want one that's probably a pretty big name and it's got some good security history, so that there hasn't been breaches with them. But then use it regularly and then check up on it on a regular basis as well. I think in general, one of the best backup strategies you can have is not to store stuff on local drives anymore. There's always very clean and easy ways to use cloud storage, whether it's Google Drive or Dropbox or SugarSync or whatever. Even if you may have a local copy, so when you're not online, there's always that cloud copy constantly in the background there. So for your important files, I think that's probably a good strategy to have, is you just don't leave it sitting there on your desktop, and then you really don't have to worry about your backup strategy as much. Use those cloud services. So that's my resolution number 2.
Good stuff. Mine, again, kind of turned to the education focus, and in this regard, I like to stay on top of some of our main platforms that we've adopted and recommend for Wells churches and schools. In that vein, I'd like to continue to pursue Google certification this year. The first stage or level of that is to pass their online testing system. It's called Google Certified, no, not certified, Google Qualified Individual. And I've reached that plateau. I passed the online test, interesting, and learned a lot along the way about Google Sites, Google Apps, just lots of different things. But now there's a whole nother level where you have to actually do presentations and you know, demonstrate your abilities and the fact that you can share this knowledge with a group of people, and that makes you a Google certified trainer. And that's not the easiest thing to achieve. They're kind of selective about who they let into that club. So I don't know if I'll make it there or not in 2014. But I'm gonna pursue their qualifications for that and see if I can be Google certified and hopefully be able to share that information with many in the Well circles and as they develop Chromebook plans for their schools and implement more Google applications across their education setting.
Yeah, it's going to be a Googly kind of year, I think. I'm sensing that a lot of our schools are going the Chromebook route at this point, and if they're not just going the Chromebook route, they're definitely in the Google Apps space and dipping their toe in the water there. So I think your experience there will be really valuable. Plus, we're kind of all in on Google for the show here with our Google Plus stuff and Google Hangouts and YouTube and such. So, good on you. I think
good
that's
stuff.
I think that's a good. I don't know. Can you call that a life skill now? I think you probably can. It's hard to live right now, at least in the worlds that we live in, without some googly type skills.
So. You know, and it all ties back to, you talked about managing passwords, you talked about cloud-based backup. Just our lives are going more and more to the cloud, so understanding more of the capabilities that are out there, particularly with Google tool sets. Another vein that I'd like to improve upon is my knowledge of Final Web Toolset, another cloud-based application for creating church and school websites. And we have a large group of people that are using Final Web as their web hosting platform. And Final Web is constantly improving their tools and changing things, which means we need to relearn and we need to be able to reteach those skills to those that are using that platform. In that capacity, we're planning some training this summer, Martin.
We are.
Final Web training will be hosted at the brand new Center for Mission and Ministry the week of July 8th through 11th. So you heard it here first, folks, and you need to mark your calendar for those dates, because we hope to be able to accommodate a lot of people in those training sessions. Martin and I will be team teaching those and assisting with your church and school websites during that time period.
Yeah, and it's kind of a good time to do this, because Final Web has basically redone their entire interface. And I get a lot of questions right now about, you know, what's happening here. And they've actually made it more graphically rich and I think more drag and drop features, but that takes a little bit of getting used to, especially if you've been with Final Web for a long time. You're very used to how it used to be. Now it's all different. So that's a 4-day training session, but you could take any one of the 4 days or any combination of. I think the way we'll do it is the way we did it the last time we had an in-person or face-to-face training session. Was first day will be kind of specifically for teachers or classroom settings, and then so that'll be kind of the pre-conference or pre-training session for 1 day, and then we'll have a beginner, intermediate, and advanced the following 3 days. So depending on what your needs are, and we'll keep it reasonably priced, we'll kind of just cover our costs. So if you can get to Waukesha now and provide your own lodging and food, and we'll actually provide food during the day, morning and afternoon. I had a great time doing that, and I'm looking forward to doing this again in July.
Me too, and I'm glad it's not till July, because we have a lot of training materials to update. I have a lot to learn about the new enhancements to Final Web.
Yeah, so put it on your calendar. Don't schedule vacation, or if you do, make sure that you include that if you're a Final Web devotee. But we should mention, by the way, some people don't know what Final Web is, Sally. Final Web is basically our hosting, our web content management system partner that almost half of our churches schools use at this point to produce their websites. So whether it's a church website, school website, organizational website, it's just a very easy tool to use to get a website up quickly and look nice. So.
Very good. You have a few more resolutions for us,
Martin? I have one more resolution, and that's I want to write more. You wanted to read more. I want to write more. I think, well, that's one of the things that I miss about being in pastoral ministry is I got a chance to write every week. I'd either write a sermon, of course, or a Bible class or other materials, newsletter articles, etc. And I don't get as much of a chance to do that anymore. So I want to look for opportunities to do that. And we've got some great platforms. We wrote a book last year, so that kind of helped that opportunity to do that. But I want to do a little bit more regular blogging, pick some topics that I think are going to be interesting, and do a little more long-form writing about different topics related to technology and ministry, and then do more sharing, and maybe shorter form kind of posts, whether it be on Twitter or Google+, those kinds of places where just kind of a regular feed of different things that cross my desk, and you and I, you know, are in great position to be able to do that. We get emails all the time and suggestions, and we get to frequent some of those places where we're going to learn more about you know, different things, and we can share those. So I'm looking forward to a little bit more of the sharing side of my job in 2014.
I guess I listed reading for a reason and didn't list writing for a reason, because that is not my forte to do the long-form writing. I'm more of a short clip kind of person. So Hopefully you can stick with the course there and share a lot of good stuff.
All right. And then we have some show resolutions. We mentioned this at the top of the show. Some changes we'd like to make. We are starting our seventh year of shows, so we want to change things up a little bit, and we do tweak things, but essentially the only significant change I would say we've really ever made is adding the video component. The kind of the show format has remained the same. We have the, you know, kind of the opening dialogue, and we talk about a topic, and then normally we have an interview, we do a book review, you know, those kinds of things, but want to try and be more of a show that maybe engages the audience a bit more. We do get a lot of feedback, but I think we can do better at that, and maybe even encourage more live participation. So one thing that we'd like to do in 2014 is encourage people to watch or listen to the show live each week. And we're going to make a real dedicated effort to be very consistent about the show day and time, so people can kind of bookmark that and hopefully fit that into their day and participate. Maybe even join us in the Hangout. Maybe we could do that, or certainly in the chat window or in the Google+ page. So to that end, we're actually going to change the show time, keep it on Tuesday, but we're going to, rather than do it in the morning, those of you that have tuned in, know that we normally do this Tuesday morning, and that's normally not a good time, especially for our teacher folk. They're hot and heavy with their classroom, and the school day's already started. And we've even had trouble getting, let's say, Gail Potratz on the show, or even Jason too, because of you know, doing that in the morning. So we're going to change the show time to 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays, and try and stick with that.
So that's basically like a live webinar almost that you can tune into each week, and yeah, it would be great if we could add some of that participatory component to it, so that people could chat or be a part
ask
of our
questions
Hangouts.
Or comment, or yeah, we'd love that real time interaction. So
sounds like we need to learn something new.
Looking forward to that. Now we're also going to create a kind of a quick, an easy to remember URL that you can get to the show. You can always go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and there'll be a link there and a calendar of when our shows are airing. But if you go to wellstechlive.wells.net, that'll get you to our Google+ page, and it's not quite ready yet, so if you try it like Tuesday evening of this week, it may not be live yet. It takes a little bit to propagate across the internets. But WellsTechLive.wells.net will get you to our Google Plus page, and on that page you'll both see the live feed, but then also I think a comment box will appear below that where you can interact with us during the show, and we'll be watching that as we move forward. Hopefully we'll get some people watching and participating. Now what that does mean, Sally, is that the recorded show or the archive show may not be out on Tuesday. It may be out Wednesday, you know, probably before noon at some point. So just to, if you're expecting to kind of download the show on Tuesday night and listen on your, you know, run Wednesday morning, that may not always be the case now, so it'll come out Wednesday morning.
Which is kind of like turning back the hands of time, because I think when we started the podcast, we recorded on Tuesday and released them on Wednesday, so yeah. There you go. I mentioned the word webinar. That'll be your weekly professional development opportunity there to join us on the live Wells Tech show. But we also have the vision of some more focused webinars on tech topics beginning perhaps in March of this year, Martin.
Yeah, the conference that we had in Las Vegas, the Distance Outreach and Technology Conference, this was one thing that kind of came up is, you know, some kind of regular sharing or regular grouping, you know, gathering of people who are interested in a topic. And we talked about things like audio, video, and worship, and distance learning, and Bible class online, and confirmation class via, you know, distance tools. And what we're trying to do each month is pick an expert or two, have them kind of come on with us or one of us, and encourage other people who are interested in that topic to come on as well and ask questions and dialogue or strategize or brainstorm about that particular topic. So kind of Google calls them helpouts now, I think.
Okay.
It's kind of a new service that they have, so this is kind of our version of that. So just this monthly conversation about technology and ministry topics where we've got an expert from the field coming in, leading a discussion, and hopefully people will join, and it'll be advertised through Together in a bunch of different places. So
a little different than the Wells Tech podcast, where we talk about a variety of things in each show, more focused on a particular topic, and hopefully more real-time examples and that kind of thing, you know, very focused.
The opportunity to interact, too. I mean, it's more of a dialogue versus anything else. Now, we have a limit of the number of people that can be in a Hangout. I think it's still at 10 or maybe it's 15. I don't remember where it is at this point. But then it can be streamed just like we do the show, too. So if you just want to listen or watch, you can still do that.
And there'll be an archive as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
So
let's move on to ministry resources. What's our first ministry resource of the year?
Well, we heard from Joshua Kramer, who's at Good Shepherd in West Bend, Wisconsin. And if my mind map would behave, I would open up his message.
Probably should have given a little more lead time.
There you go. He said, here's a ministry resource for your consideration. It's called Planning Center Online. Let me do a quick screen share.
This looks cool. I looked at this the other day.
Website up. You can get to it at get.planningcenteronline.com. And it's geared for churches specifically. And there are four different web applications they offer. You can see it here on my screen. It says services for planning and scheduling. So this would be like working through your service. What would you call it? Your liturgy.
Order of service.
There you go. Music Stand, which is a digital music reader. So I'm thinking maybe in terms of like a praise band, they would have their iPad in front of them or whatever and be able to scroll through the music that's part of the service, potentially play music from the iPad through the sound system, different things like that, all coordinated through this Music Stand application or component. Projector allows you to do portable presentations, perhaps from a tablet device or whatever, and then resources. And Joshua says our church is just beginning and implementing the resources portion, which manages the schedule for your facility. And I did a little bit of looking at those components. It seems like it's kind of a Google Calendar component, but amped up another level because there are permissionings around the different calendars and things. So you could have people submitting calendar events, but then it has to go through a layer of approval before it actually goes on your live calendar. You can use it for scheduling rooms or different resources in your facility, whatever it may be. And again, it's just one component of Planning Center Online. There is a free trial, but otherwise it is a fee-based service. So you'll want to look into what level of access you want to purchase or whatever. And I wrote to Josh and asked him to write back and tell us how it's going there at Good Shepherd. And we will be curious to hear about their implementation plan with Planning Center Online.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing. And as a result, what does Joshua win?
Well, Joshua's in the drawing for our ministry resources collection that we're doing this kind of the school year term. At the end of May, we plan to draw for an Apple TV among all those that submit ministry resources to the Wells Tech podcast in that time period. We also have a drawing going for listener reviews. So take a moment, record a quick video, send us an audio file, write a blog post, whatever it may be, to review a product or service that you're using there in your congregation or school that's making an impact on your ministry. And we'd love to share your reviews with our audience. And if you're someone who submits one of those reviews, you're going to be in the running for a Nexus 7 tablet giveaway, which will also be at the end of May.
Very nice. Thank you, Joshua, for your submission. Cool tool. Let's move on to our tip of the week, and I'm going to keep mine very simple, but hopefully very practical and useful. And this is something that was kind of a light bulb moment for me, maybe a year or two ago. When you're on a keyboard, obviously you're doing a lot of typing, word processing, whatever. You're working with words all day long, and clearly one of the advantages of using a computer over the old typewriter is it's easy to delete and edit and those kinds of things. But usually you fall into the trap when you misspell something or you need to rethink a portion or a phrase in a sentence or a paragraph, just hitting that backspace key and going one character at a time. Now you can hold it down and it'll go a little bit faster, but you're still only deleting one character at a time. But both on Mac and Windows keyboards, there's a very easy way to speed up that process where you can delete a whole word at a time. And the way to do that on a Windows machine is using the control key along with the backspace key. So instead of just hitting the backspace key and deleting one letter at a time, if you hold down control and backspace, you'll delete one word at a time. So you can go quickly back through a sentence or paragraph. Save yourself quite a bit of time over time. Rather than just that one character at a time. And then if you're on a Mac, it's Option Delete. Now, Mac keyboards do not have a backspace key, or they don't have one that kind of functions in the same way as a Windows one does. But if you hold down the Option key and the Delete key, that will backspace over a word at a time, just like the Control backspace key does on Windows. So that's my tip of the week.
Very good, Martin. You're all about those keyboard commands. It's awesome.
Got it. Yeah, it's got to be muscle memory, and then you get a little bit quicker. You have a tip this week.
I do. It is a Google-centric tip, believe it or not. I'm over on my sample Google site. I created a page here because I want to show you that you can actually permission pages within a Google site, not just the entire Google site. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have a Google site for your church or school. It might be even an internal Google site that you only share with people internal to the congregation. But there are specific areas of it that are more sensitive than others or more specific to particular people. And you can actually permission those individual pages as you'd like within your site. This is something I learned in my Google training recently. What you do is, on the particular page, you go to the More options and go to Sharing and Permissions. And something my eyes just never noticed. I'm used to interacting with Google sharing features, but I never noticed that way up here in the upper right corner, there's a button that says Enable Page Level Permissions. So when you click on that button, it says they allow you, page level permissions allow you to control who can view or edit specific pages. And they do have a getting started guide before you use page level permissions. And then you just click on that button, turn on page level permissions, and then you're able to specify exactly who can see particular pages. So maybe your entire Google site is public, but you want specific pages of the site to be privatized. And you can do that with the Enable Page Level Permissions option in the Google Site settings. So just a little tip for you. Even if you don't remember how to do it, just knowing that that capability exists on your Google site kind of opens up a whole new level of being able to use your sites effectively. So I just wanted to share that as a tip. Tuck it away for future reference.
Very good. I like it. Our picks of the week.
And I have a great pick to share. And it's a hardware pick. That's not typical for me to have hardware picks. And I'm having trouble sharing my screen. It's one of those days. Wow. I don't need to share my screen, though, because it's sitting right here next to me. It's called the Ounce Angle. Ounce, what an odd name. O-O-N-T-Z. And it is a Bluetooth speaker that I can use with my iPad or iPhone. But it's a lot more than just a plain old Bluetooth speaker. It's super high quality, for one thing. It has a really long battery life. It'll last 12 hours on a single charge. And it charges via a micro USB connection. So you just hook it to your computer. It charges really quickly. And then it lasts a long time. I'm not sure you'll be able to see, but on the back there are buttons for controlling sound. And also there's a pause button, but it does function as a speakerphone. So if you're using the Angle with your iPhone and your phone rings, it'll automatically mute your background sounds, allow you to answer the phone and speak because there's a microphone built in, and use this as a speakerphone. So super cool. It's not real large, maybe 5 inches across or something like that. Very lightweight. Comes in a lot of different colors. I'm sporting the blue model, which is an awesome choice for me. Goes well with all my other technology. But you can get it in red and green and teal and all kinds of options. Price tag $40. Great price. And I highly recommend it. I think that's everything I wanted to mention about the Ounce Angle.
Cool.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah. I think those were one of the hot items for Christmas this year. A lot of people were buying those in the stores this year, and it just makes a lot of sense to extend the reach of your mobile devices that typically don't have, good speakers built into them, iPads or iPhones or other Android stuff. So
I do think I have one more thing to add. I mentioned that it was Bluetooth, but it also has an input for just a traditional connection, and audio inline is available as well. So you don't have to be tied to having a Bluetooth device even. You can use it wired as well.
Cool. All right, my pick of the week is, and let me do a quick screen share. Let me get off of the right screen here. I too am screen share challenged. I have sometimes a need to have different devices around, even though they aren't, my primary phone. So normally I use my Android phone, but I do have an iPhone as well, and a Windows phone too to test on for the Wells mobile app. One of the things that I normally will do right away for any device that I have is get a case for it. Because normally these devices I don't keep long term. I probably recycle them or resell them. I'll recycle them maybe to somebody else in the building who needs a phone or who wants a tablet, that kind of thing, or sell it back on Gazelle. So you want to keep it in good shape. So a case is really an important thing. And one of the companies that I've really been impressed with over the years is a company called Spec, S-P-E-C-K. SpecProducts.com is their website, and they have all kinds of cases for all kinds of devices. So they've got cases for your iPad or your iPhone, your Samsung, your Motorola phone, all kinds, even computer cases. So if you have a MacBook, they have cases that we'll go over that as well. And I found them just to be good quality material that they use, and they really protect things as best that you could hope for. Now, they don't protect you from every eventual malady that could happen. So if you're dropping it face down, and you know the glass, you know, somehow makes contact with the ground surface, it's not a happy ending usually. But you do have opportunity to protect it with these cases in most instances. So here's an iPhone with a Spec case on it. This just happens to be a fairly basic black one, but it does have a little lip on it, so that you can put it face down on a surface, and the glass doesn't touch the table or whatever surface you're putting it down on. And I found that one of the things I like most about the Spec cases is they've got these exterior buttons that are a lot easier to hit. And they actually work pretty well. Some cases you'll get they have these buttons, but you have to press extra hard to actually make contact with the hardware button that's underneath. But with these Spec cases, they've somehow figured out how to overcome that, and it's just like pressing the button on the device itself. So that is my pick of the week. Just the whole Spec line, I'm really impressed with.
Martin, I have a offshoot question for you. Do you ever buy the screen protectors, the clear plastic, to put on your devices?
I have done that in the past. I don't normally.
That's me too.
I find that they don't last real long, and they kind of peel off, and sometimes they distort the image even, and they're not quite as comfortable to use, so your finger doesn't slide as nicely as you might like over them. Is that your experience too?
Yeah, I put one on my very first iPod Touch, and then someone in the Apple Store, one of the Apple geniuses, told me that they never use them, that they are comfortable and feel like the glass is strong enough, and you don't need that protection, that if you polish it up. And
you can scratch an iPhone. I've done that in the past. But if you don't put it in the same pocket or compartment in your purse as you put your keys in, I think you're fairly safe. So.
Okay. Very good. Personal preference, I'm sure. Not. Don't take our word for it, folks. But that's just something I've kind of gotten away from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right, let's move on to a special Bible study that is coming up in just about a month. We've mentioned it on the show before. It's called the Interactive Faith Online Bible Study Series. And this is a series that was started by the good folks in the South Atlantic District. A number of pastors down there got together and said, well, how can we use technology to use online Bible studies as a way to get people to get into their Bibles, and then also to leverage the good people across the synod who maybe have expertise in a particular area, whether that's Revelation or responding to Mormons or whatever it is. And they've done that successfully, and now I think they're in their almost third year of these Interactive Faith series, and it's been very successful. And there's a new one starting up, I believe it's in February, February 5th. It's a four-week series. This is led by President Mark Schrader. So we'll be doing it right here from the Center for Mission and Ministry. And it's entitled, I Like to Read My Bible, But... And it really addresses some of the obstacles and some of the challenges that people have in reading their Bibles, whether it's they don't understand what they're reading, they don't know what resources are at their disposal, they don't know where to start. So President Schrader is going to take some time and walk people through that. It's offered on Wednesdays, beginning February 5th, as I mentioned, at 7:30 and 9:30 Eastern. So you have to do the math depending on your time zone. They do it in the two time zone or two times to accommodate, you know, the different time zones that may be tuning in, so that they want to make sure that as many people as possible can take advantage of it. Anybody can join. You simply need to go to the appropriate website, and then the way you interact with the instructor is through the chat window. Normally, the way the Interactive Faith people like to encourage people to use the tool is to collect people at church or at a, you know, a location where it's a group of people, because there are kind of breakout sessions that happen or little pauses in the online presentation for the group that's watching to get together and discuss what was taught and have some discussion type questions. So you can watch it by yourself, but I think the best experience is going to be with other people. There are study guides that are provided, and when you look at the page where all the videos are, they have also a way to look at past studies. So if you're not sure that this is for you, take a look at some of the past studies and how they went.
Yep, we'll have links in our show notes to all those resources that Martin mentioned. In the study guides, I found that there's even some bulletin inserts and posters for this upcoming Bible study. So if you want to promote it in your congregation, now's a great time to be hearing about this and getting the word out, gathering your group, making your technology plans so that you perhaps can project the Bible study at the time it's being offered, and just a lot of resources online to share with other people that this is going on. So take a look at the links we provide in our show notes.
Very good. Let's move on to community feedback.
Yeah, first up we heard from Tom Rosenau, who serves as a principal at St. John's in Pigeon, Michigan. And Tom shared a link to a Lifehacker article called "The Fussy Librarian Recommends Books in Daily Emails." So it's basically a review of a website. The URL for the site is thefussylibrarian.com. And if you go there, you can join for free by putting in your email address, answering a few questions, and then you'll get email from the website that recommends books that you will enjoy based on the kinds of things that you like to read. And typically, it matches you with ebooks and provides links to where you can get access to the ebooks. So you indicate your preferences. You can say no profanity, whatever it may be, and you get these daily emails and check out the books. So for someone who wants to read in the year 2014, perhaps The Fussy Librarian would be a good subscription for you to check out.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep. I tagged a couple of articles. I'm enjoying more and more the website internettoolboxforchurches.com. Two interesting articles that came out during the Christmas holiday break on the site. One is blogging tips, 49 church blogging tips. So if your New Year's resolution perhaps is to beef up your church blog, here are 49 different tips to help you be successful. Things like share your successes with others, not for bragging rights, but to build enthusiasm, readership, and to inspire others to get involved. Or don't spend the bulk of your post getting to the point. Make the point early, then support it. Some of them are just good writing tips. Maybe, Martin, if you have a writing resolution, you want to check out these 49 tips. Cool. Now, which of your posts are the best, most effective, best writing, and work at becoming even better? Don't let lack of confidence in your writing idea deter you. Write anyway. You'll find the words. And he goes on and on. So there's 49 of these here. If you're looking for a little oomph to your writing, here's a good list to reference. Great. And then also from the Internet Toolbox for Churches, I also tagged an article called "A Solution to Your Unfocused Internet Ministry." So this is again tips and a plan to help you move forward, to know what to focus on, to set realistic goals and things like that. And he has 4 steps to getting unstuck. Choose your focus, carve out time to allow you to work on your internet ministry, and develop consistent behavior, and track your progress. And once you get past his four steps, then he gives you some example focus areas. If you're just getting started, he gives you some example milestones. Or if you're adding a second channel or becoming effective at actually reaching people, he gives you just different ideas and things to focus on to grow a particular area of your internet ministry. I found the article really inspiring and also broad enough to fit a lot of different scenarios and give you a lot of different directions you could go. So there's not a cookie cutter answer for your congregation or your personal internet ministry, but he does give you a lot of food for thought and some good things to hook onto to get you going in the right direction.
Nice.
All right.
I like that.
Martin, there was an article from Church Mag that you tweeted about.
Yeah, something, again, related to Facebook, how they're changing things a little bit for us and not in our favor. If we are a church that uses Facebook to try and reach out or to reach in, they make it a little bit harder. Now, Facebook is obviously a company in it to make money, and that is sometimes at odds with how we want to communicate. Normally, when you post something on your Facebook page, you're assuming that it's going to appear in the feed or the stream or the news feed of the people who like your page. And while that's technically true, this article points out that sometimes in fact, most times they may not see that post, depending on how the algorithms are performing for your particular post and how much reach a particular post might have. So they're saying this means that organic read-free reach you enjoyed up to this point will start to decline over the next few weeks. In fact, a high-performing post could reach as little as 10%. Of your followers. So Facebook is determining, you know, what should be, what's really going to go into the news feeds of people, and it may not always be your page. So don't assume that just because you put something on Facebook that the people that like your page are ever going to see it. So just keep that in mind, and you may want to do some testing on your own to see exactly what the ramifications are to this new change that Facebook has made. So, too bad.
Yeah. Our friend Jason Wingnut also tagged that article on Digo, so you can find it in our Wells Tech Digo list. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. Jason tagged a second article from readwrite.com, and it's titled, Think Email is Dead Outside of Work. Email is in high use in the workplace, but not so much in consumer land. Multiple clients, in other words, different operating systems and things, can just make for a lot of challenges. And I think this author is just kind of in a flux. He's not quite sure if email is going to be a platform for moving forward for his personal communication. He talks about communicating with people through text messaging, through Twitter, through Facebook, through Google Plus, those kind of platforms. He talks about the challenges of file sharing, using a platform like Google Drive or Dropbox or whatever it may be, and being able to share files with a group, for instance, a board of elders in a congregation or something like that. And I just think we're gonna see new trends emerge, and probably on the personal side, if this fellow's right, maybe email won't be such a strong contender anymore for personal communication.
Yep.
And that's gonna do it for community feedback.
If you'd like to contribute, you can go to wellstech.wells.net to make a comment on our show notes page. Email us, wellstech@wells.net, or on that show notes page, click any of the links at the top right to connect with us via Facebook, Twitter, Digo, Pinterest, all kinds of ways to connect with us, or leave us a good old-fashioned email or voicemail on that page just by clicking the link on the right side of the page.
I love how you say it's good old-fashioned voicemail when you talk to your computer. Things are changing.
Things are changing.
Yep.
Speaking of changing, our brains are changing according to the book we've been reading, Sally, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. We're going to be picking that up next week with Chapter 7, entitled The Juggler's Brain. Sounds intriguing. So, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we do a book review each year, and this is the book that we're working on right now, Chapter 7. So grab it, join us, and join the conversation next week as we continue our conversation about The Shallows. Sally, that's about it for the week. We have a free song to give away. We'll be continuing to do that in the new year. This one's from one of our friends of the show, Mike Westendorf. We've had him on at least once before. He's probably in all his glory right now because he is a weatherman. One of your resolutions is not to talk about the weather, but that's all he talks about is the weather, plus his faith. He's a great guy. He sang for our Christmas gathering the end of last year for the CMM here and just did a fantastic job and appreciate him doing that. And also appreciate him giving up one of his songs for free that anybody can download. What are you holding up there?
I've got my phone. I'm checking the weather.
Oh.
It's -6 in New Ulm right now. And the good news is it says it feels like -6. So that means that the wind is not affecting us, and that's great news. So -6 is like a heat wave compared to what it's been. Oh, I forgot. We weren't going to talk about the weather, were we?
Mike Westendorf's song, You Are Amazing. Go to our show notes page to download it free this week. So please take advantage of that. And don't forget, next week, 4 o'clock Central Time, Tuesday, join us live and give us some feedback right inside the show. So take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.